Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. This Wednesday, we will have the talk number 20 on the Catholic faith from 6:45 to 7:45 p.m. in the hall. We will be continuing the instructions from the Baltimore Catechism number 3 with the final class on why I am a Catholic and on the Mass. This Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, and we'll have a holy hour from 7 to 8 p.m., followed by benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. This Friday is the first Friday. The Mass will be at 8:30, followed by the Rosary and a conference. This Saturday is the first Saturday of the month. The Mass will be at 1 hour earlier than normal on Saturdays. The Mass will be at 7:30, not 8:30, this Saturday. Catechism classes for grades 2 through 12 will begin Saturday, October 14th. Contact one of the priests if you wish to enroll your children in the program. Today after Mass, there will be a greeting Sunday. That is, you will have an opportunity to meet with our Father Superior or renew your greetings. Every so often, he likes to make himself available for those who have not met him or would like to say hello. He will be in Office B, which is right down the hallway. So there will be blessings of the articles after Mass today, but there will not be benediction. This Wednesday is the final in the series on the Catholic faith. It's going to be about why I am a Catholic and on the Mass. Thursday, the Holy Hour from 7 to 8. Friday, the Mass at 8:30 with Mass, Rosary, and a conference after. First Saturday Mass change, the Mass at 7:30, not 8:30. And catechism classes will start on the 14th. And again, after Mass today, anyone who would like to see Father just to say hello, or if you're a new person, have not met him yet, you can meet him. And he does this occasionally just to have a chance, give everyone an opportunity to see him. He's very busy, so you don't always get to see him. So this is a chance you do see him, not just up here, but you see him up close and personal. Just a reminder about one announcement about the Holy Hour, about First Friday, about First Saturday. We cannot take the time, but we just want to renew the thought in everyone's mind, especially during this month of October. This is a plea of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I venture to say everyone here has had their home and family consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's part of that whole consecration ceremony that the people are dedicating themselves to the Sacred Heart, and one of the great things that they look forward to, among all the others, their birthdays, their anniversaries and things, is the Holy Hour and the First Fridays. How many vocations have come from that devotion? How many great graces have been won for the people at large in parishes by those men, the unsung people who belong to the Nocturnal Adoration Society? We don't have that here. We tried to have that. We're not big enough. But those are the people who used to get up in the middle of the night and come and pray for their families and the parish and the church at large in the middle of the night with our Lord. How many things were won by those prayers? You can do that. Oh, I forgot the saints. Today is the feast of Saint Remigius. He was the bishop who converted King Clovis and began the conversion of the French nation. Tomorrow is the feast, October 2nd, of the Holy Guardian Angels. Starting with that feast of St. Michael the other day, continuing tomorrow, and then finishing with the Archangel St. Raphael later in this month. It's like a time just dedicated to the angels. St. John Chrysostom says that each of our immortal souls is so valuable that God has entrusted it to a special angel, our guardian angel. And for us not to get to heaven with all that help, Tuesday is the feast, October 3rd, of St. Therese of the Child Jesus, the little flower. Pope Pius XI is called the greatest saint of modern times. I'll just give you this one quote, especially for everyone here who is 20 years old. If you're over 20 years old and you haven't even thought of this, this is what the saint said when she was 20 years old. The thing that cost her the most is every day recognizing and realizing every one of her faults and imperfections. And your sins there. And waging deadly war against them. That sounds like a soldier. That's what she was. That's what each of us is supposed to be. Wednesday, October 4th, is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. The ecologists have stolen the saint. His life and that harmony that we see with nature that he had is a supernatural thing. It's reflective of Adam and Eve and how they were in the garden. That's what that's talking about. Friday is the, October 6th is the feast of St. Bruno, who started the Carthusians. That order is the only order in history which has not needed a reform. All the other orders have needed some kind of reform. It becomes lax over time. I'll just say this. I wonder about that today. Even they have been contaminated. Saturday is the feast. October 7th is, and it's the first Saturday too. It is the feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. We cannot go into, that's worth a sermon, that's worth a conference, which may occur on Friday. But we can say this. If your mother asks you to do a favor, how many of us would turn her down? So when the Blessed Mother comes specially to Fatima and says, I am the Lady of the Rosary, and asks her children to pray the rosary every day, it's given that we are. But if you haven't, this is the time to start. October is the month dedicated to it. The power, we can, how to say the rosary, the nature of the rosary, the contemplative nature of the prayer, all of this, so much to be said, just to say this part. The rosary was given to fight heresy and to join us to the mysteries of our faith and the liturgy. That sentence has so much in it. The victories that have come from the Holy Rosary, and this celebrates, October 7th, celebrates the victory at Lepanto, but it started back with St. Dominic. It continues even in modern times. We're thinking of Brazil in the 1960s. The communists were about to take over the whole country, and they had a massive rosary crusade, and they had a miraculous saving. That was in the 1960s. What is going to be coming ahead for us? Because one of the hallmarks of the traditional Latin Mass is the devotion to the rosary. If you're not part of that devotion to the rosary, you're not a traditionalist, no matter what you think. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, I, the prisoner in the Lord, exhort you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all humility and meekness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, careful to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, one body and one Spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and throughout all and in us all, who is blessed forever. Amen. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. At that time, the Pharisees came to Jesus, and one of them, a doctor of the law, putting him to the test, asked him, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart and with thy whole soul and with thy whole mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And the second is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus questioned them, saying, "What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "David's." He said to them, "How then does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool'? If David therefore calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one could answer him a word, neither did anyone dare from that day forth to ask him any more questions. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As we are entering this month and moving towards the end of the year, and we start thinking that the Holy Office, the priest says, starts to make changes as of now, this Sunday, getting us ready for the end of the liturgical year. And this Mass is doing that. It is a Mass of judgment. It starts right with the introit where it says, "You are just, O Lord, and we depend on your mercy." And it goes in talking in the gradual about all the nations, how they will bend and accept God. At the end of the month, we have the Feast of Christ the King. We have the offertory telling us about how God is going to look down upon his people and see his temple, which has been defiled. We all know the meaning of those things. And the liturgists tell us that the communion verse for this Mass is very unusual. It's not that sweet consolation being expressed after having received Holy Communion. It's more of a warning, using the word twice and talking about God as being terrible. You can look at it. Because we are warned, as it says in the sequence Laudation from St. Thomas, Holy Communion is life to the living and death to the evil. That's the place to remind ourselves at communion. So it's a time of judgment as we start to approach the end of the year. And in the epistle, we have St. Paul. Can't go into all the background about this city of Ephesus, a prominent city in the empire. One of the councils of the early church was held there, declaring the Blessed Mother, Mother of God. It's a very prominent place, the adventures he had there. And in his epistle, he talks a lot about the mystical body of Christ. This is just one section of that epistle. But he's telling everybody that the unity, that hallmark, one of the hallmarks of the church, one, that is something that is given to the church, but the members must foster it by the virtues, first of charity, which of course is going to tie into the gospel, but of humility, meekness, patience, supporting one another in a bond of charity and peace. So we give you a tip, as we've mentioned many times about the Mass. One of the goals of the Mass as we approach communion is the gift of peace. We talked about how you can hear the prayers, last on use day, grant us peace. than the prayer saying, Lord, thou hast given peace to thy apostles, and so on. A little tip for practice in life. Anytime you have the, because if you practice any degree of recollection, this will help you. If at any time you have the grace of being recollected enough to think before you act, just think about this. Is what I'm about to do or say or think, is it going to foster peace or not? If you choose peace when those thoughts come to you, I guarantee your life will be much happier. In the gospel, we have our Lord. Now, this is during Holy Week, this took place. This is his last combat, his last effort to save these people. So on Tuesday of Holy Week, the next day he went into mini retreat. We know the rest of the story. So he's struggling to help these people, and he has just taken on this political group, the Sadducees, who had all kinds of warped ideas, and he explained to them about the resurrection of the body. They denied that. These were Jews that denied that they would be rise from the dead and be reunited with their bodies. He just finished answering them, and that's what happens now. So now, okay, that group had failed to take him down, so here come the Pharisees. We're going to do it. They couldn't do it. So they figure out their plan, and they say, let's trap him now. We debate among ourselves, ready, about 613 laws in our religion. 613. And they had it broken down. There were 365, one for each day of the year, negative laws, and then 248 positive laws to get our total of 613. Let's throw this out at him and see what happens. So we hear what our Lord did. You can almost see our Lord as the new Moses coming down from the mountain with the tablets. You can almost see that here. And he's got the tablets, and on one side he's got the first three commandments. On the other, he's got 4 through 10, as you already know. You've been instructed in the catechism. And that is the division of the commandments about God and the commandments about neighbor. So here is the new Moses coming down to them and cutting through all of this and saying, these are the great commandments, to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And they are silenced, but now he goes on the offensive himself and asks them his paraphrase of the question he gave the apostles and that high point of that his work with them. Who do men say that I am? And St. Peter says, thou art the Christ. Now he says to them, who is the Christ? And they say, the Son of David. And he says, how can that be? How can the Son of David be greater than David? Because he quotes that Psalm 109. Of course, they don't have an answer. So what our Lord is doing in this gospel, he is making a plea towards all of us, as he was to them, for love of God and neighbor, and of faith. That's when he said to them, you must believe in the Son of David, who is the Son of God, who is the incarnate God made man. So at this Mass, we're seeking for peace, we're seeking for love, we're seeking for faith. The one little footnote there, and there's a whole book, many books, but there's one book in particular called The Soul of the Apostolate. If you have not read it, it's a great book to read. St. Pius X, it says, had this as his bedside book. Okay. I don't know what you can say as a greater indication. And the fundamental principle of that is that we cannot do anything in spiritual life, as it says, the soul of the apostle, except that we have an interior life ourselves. And one of the things it stresses is a commentary on this love of neighbor, because it says, our Lord said, love your neighbor as yourself, not more than yourself. You cannot give anything to anyone else that you yourself don't have. And I've said this many times to people, it may be, you know, sickening to hear all the time, but it struck me so much, like maybe probably the first time I ever got on a plane, and the flight attendant, not called that in those days, had the mask come down, the oxygen mask, and you're listening, and take the oxygen mask and put it over your face and tie it on before you do it for anyone else. And it was so counterintuitive. I had to sit there thinking about that. Because if you think right away, I'm going to help this child next to me or whatever. But even in that world, it makes sense. You can't help anyone else unless you yourself have the oxygen. Same thing in the spiritual life. You can't help anyone else if you don't have it yourself. Big problem for priests, for example. Got into becoming social workers, you know, putting that ahead of love of God, and so many priests left the priesthood. Okay, that's all we want to say about that. We want to make a point here about one other thing in this Mass, and that is the collect. Grant us, O Lord, to avoid, to withstand, to be free of diabolical contagion, so that we may follow you with a pure mind. We know what that means in the big picture. That means that we must, what is the biggest thing, the contagion of the devil? Well, it's sin and temptation. But our Lord said in the Gospel of St. John, he said, it's about the Jews that he was talking to, you are sons of your father, the devil, who is a murderer and a liar from the beginning. So our Lord is telling us that, yes, sin and temptation. Not all temptations come from the devil, by the way, just so we remember that. Most do. But others come from the world and ourselves, just to remember. But our primary enemy is, and you can look at the text, it talks about contagion. It's like this terrible disease that we have to withstand. But how does the doctor know when there is a disease? There are signs of it. The obvious ones is the person is actually already sick. They have already sinned. They are being tempted. They can see that things are happening. But there are symptoms of what happens to us. So we want to give you some of these symptoms or some of these signs so you can recognize. Now, the first one in our world today, a murderer and a liar from the beginning. I mean, the whole planet is at war. The whole planet is killing each other. How does that fit in with the Prince of Peace? We talk about the Epistle to the Ephesians. We talk about our own personal lives. Look at the world at large. There's absolutely no room for peace on this planet. It's constant war, always. Because we have to defend our oil. We have to defend the poppy fields. And then we have the other sign. And I'm not even talking about killing our own, turning on our own with abortion. This is unbelievable. I don't know how they're going to record our time in future historians. What was wrong with these people? Turning on their own offspring. And then the old, you know, euthanasia. But those are all signs that the diabolical contagion is everywhere. It's all around us. That's why we're preserved here. And we know also he's a liar. He is always deceiving. Everything around us is deception. And we want to expose that a little bit, especially for young people, because without experience of life, and that is being burned by deception. Now, maybe you've already been burned. Maybe you've already had friends that have done things to you and you've been hurt. That's deception. But the devil in the big picture is trying to deceive. He's trying to fool us. And one of the reasons why we're thinking of this, not only because of the collect, is because we have seen some famous people die recently this week. And these people live to a very old age. They seem to have everything they wanted. Wealth, pleasures, fame, fortune. They didn't seem to have any problems. And we who are struggling to just stay out of sin are always having trouble. Now, you already know, if you remember other sermons, how it's been explained the spiritual authors have said God is all just. And no matter how evil a person is, and how evil his life has been, and how much what he did in life has contaminated, has spread the contagion of the devil among all the people on the planet. We're thinking of a particular person, of course. Don't want to think of that person's judgment. But in the world of the satanic, diabolical contagion, you're never going to be exposed to that side. The devil never wants anyone to think anything bad happens to his disciples. But I can guarantee you that when a person like that dies, his last moments are ones of terror. Because he flings himself out of the arms of God into that other place. Of course, we don't know what happened there. But I want to give you an example of somebody. This is a 18th century, you've all heard of him, Voltaire. Raised a Catholic, educated, highly educated in the Catholic Church. Became famous because of his attacks on the church and his cleverness, which, by the way, he used St. Thomas Aquinas, took all the objections of St. Thomas. If you remember St. Thomas, he will pose a question, give all the objections to the correct answer, and then he'll give the correct answer, and then he'll answer each of the objections. So you can imagine this great mind figuring out all of the objections that can be made, and then he answers them. Well, Voltaire, being this clever, under the influence of someone clever, he took all of the objections, never saying anything about the answers. So he came across looking like a genius. He was pretty witty. For example, just looked up to see, let's give an example of one of his things. He said this, "Common sense is not very common." A little indication of how clever he could be. And so he lived this life mocking the church, mocking all the virtues and everything. And we pick him out because we can see what happened to him. It's historical. We can't see, because the devil hides everything from us now, what's happened to his disciples in this world. They go out with great accolades. They have great funerals and everything. But what was happening when they died? So here is the noted French atheist Voltaire, died a frightening death. When Voltaire, oh, this is a quote from the exact record as it was published. When Voltaire felt the stroke that he realized must terminate in death, he was overpowered with remorse. He had once sent for the priest and wanted to be reconciled with the church. His infidel flatterers hastened to his chamber to prevent his recantation. But it was only to witness his ignominy and their own. He cursed them to their faces, and as his distress was increased by their presence, he repeatedly and loudly exclaimed, "Begone, it is you that have brought me to this present condition. Leave me, I say, begone. What a wretched glory is this which you have produced in me." Hoping to allay his anguish by a written recantation, he had it prepared, signed it, and saw it witnessed. But it was all unavailing. For 2 months he was tortured with such an agony as led him at times to gnash his teeth in impotent rage against God and man. At other times, in plaintive accents, he would plead, "O Christ, O Lord Jesus." Then, turning his face, he would cry out, "I must die abandoned of God and men." As he drew near his end, his condition became so frightful that his infidel associates were afraid to approach his bedside. Still, they guarded the door that others might not know how awfully an infidel was compelled to die. See the influence of the devil hiding it, what the reality is. Don't be fooled. Even his nurse repeatedly said, "For all the wealth of Europe, I would never see another infidel die." It was a scene of horror that lies beyond all exaggeration. Such is the well-attested end of the one who had a natural sovereignty of intellect, excellent education, great wealth, and much earthly honor. That's what really happens. So in a mass of judgment as this, as we move towards the end of the year, take courage. You are on the right path. And no matter what the devil does, we have St. Michael. We have our guardian angel. The feast is tomorrow. We have St. Raphael. We cannot talk about all the lessons learned from that story with Tobias. And we have the weapons that the devil can never overcome. You see how he cut this man off from the priest? You see that? Because that is by the way, that's another sign. If you ever feel pulled away from the priest or anything, fight that. That is the devil. Because why? The priest is the means of the sacraments. He is the means of sacramentals. By the way, I'm listing your great weapons. The sacraments. Sacramentals. Prayer and fasting. Our Lord said when he cast out a devil, said, these can only be overcome by prayer and fasting. Same with us. And then blessings of the church, those sacramentals, in this special form of exorcism. So even though this is a little bit of a warning, none of us should be afraid. Because if we follow the path that God has put us on, the path of charity, faith, hope, peace, we will make it to heaven. So this Mass, receiving that greatest of all sacraments, the Holy Eucharist, make those acts of faith, hope, and charity to our Lord, and tell him you will always be faithful. And if you happen to fall in any way, seriously or venially, you will run to the sacrament of penance. May God bless you.